It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to episode 182 of the Streadicast. I'm Brian Murphy, and once again on me travels, but this time a little bit closer to home. We're in Manchester, where United tonight play the mighty Bayern Munich in a must-win game where we need results to go our way. Copenhagen, Galatasaray need to draw, and we need to beat Bayern Munich, who are just off a 5-1 loss at the weekend, with Harry Kane promising on Twitter that they're going to set it right. Not exactly delighted that it's against us. He's planning to set it right, but so be it. Apologies, lads. We've missed a couple of games in the pod. We've had a bit of illness. We've had surgeries. It is what it is. We're back again. So we've missed three games where United have been, I suppose the word that describes the entire season is inconsistent. Newcastle away, beat 1-0. Absolutely fucking dire. Chelsea at home, everyone expecting us to get done. Turned it on, beat them 2-1 with a great performance. And then Bournemouth. Less said about Bournemouth, the better, but 3-0. Could have been more. Just simply unacceptable. Can't be losing 3-0 against Bournemouth at home. But look, the past is the past. Bygones be bygones. We'll brush it under the carpet for now for the sake of this podcast. Bayern Munich, 8 o'clock Tuesday night, under the lights, Manchester in December. The kind of games that you literally live for. There's always a chill in the air. Champions League nights in Old Trafford are special, no matter the opponent. But when you're playing one of the best teams in Europe, with one of the best strikers in Europe on their side, a striker that arguably should have been ours in the summer, bar Daniel Levy being an absolute bastard that wouldn't sell to us, it's just one of those games, isn't it? So, as has been the theme of the podcast for the last while, between my incorrect terminals and airports, a passport being misplaced in Istanbul, I decided to almost go one better this morning, flying my way down to Cork Airport. 1.7 kilometres away, my van decides to absolutely shit itself, and as is the festive season, the dashboard lit up like a Christmas tree. Pulled the van over the side of the road, rang the insurance company for breakdown assistance, said, "Nah, there's no chance of making this." But luckily, a hero, a knight in shining armour, Mr. Warren in Cork Airport, my good old pal, came to my rescue and got me there just in time. And I've now arrived in Old Nag's Head in Manchester, and I'm joined by two very good friends of mine. One who's made the long, tough, intrepid journey from just a whole different world, really, in Dublin, Barry. And Keith come from Australia. But Keith's a Dublin native, a good, loyal Castleknock man. Good red through the years. We'll start with Barry before I give Keith a bit of praise, because I'll have to give him some bit of praise. We'll start with Barry. Barry, we're in the Nag's Head. We're about to play Bayern Munich later on. We've no idea about team news. We've no idea about anything really, apart from a couple of points in us. But you've been for a five-course meal yourself and Keith for a romantic catch-up, because you haven't seen each other in a while, as I waited here for you. Barry, what's going on? What's the season been like so far, first of all?
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, at the end of last season, I had high expectations, but this year it's all over the place. I mean, the squad itself, it still needs an overhaul. There's players in the team like Martial, even McTominay. I know he's scoring a few goals now.
Easy now.
But look, I think we're just too unpredictable. We could come out one week, we'd be absolutely shite. We come out another week, we'd fucking hammer the team. I just, my heart's broken. I just don't know what team is going to turn up in the day. Today we could hammer Bayern, who knows? They were beaten at the weekend. They were hammered at the weekend, but we could also get a hammering off them. So I really don't have a clue. I haven't a clue what's going to happen today.
And that's pretty much been the way the season has gone. You just don't know what you get. It's such a mixed bag. Games we're expected to lose, we win. Games we're expected to win, we lose. Topsy-turvy from start to finish. I suppose, look, the injuries at the start of the season didn't help us. It kind of put Ten Hag on the back foot where
100%.
He's set up a team, and last season we looked fairly solid, but then he's changed his style, tried to implement a new style. Players coming in, trying to gel them into a team, but injuries left, right and centre. It hasn't helped him, but he hasn't helped himself either at the same time. So there's questions raised over Eric at the moment. There's questions over the players. What do we think happens tonight?
Look, at the end of the day, the system that Ten Hag is playing, I don't think we have the players for. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. You don't really know what's going to happen on the night, because the team you're playing, the team you're coming up against, you know, they're going to be basically ready for a team where we're not going to be defending. We're just going to be going up. It's going to be end-to-end football. So we're exposed constantly. So the score could be, there could be about 7-8 goals. So honestly, I have no prediction tonight, because I haven't a clue what's going to happen, unfortunately. That's, so if there's any people trying to make a bet out there tonight, I can't help you.
Well, I like the sound of an in-game game with goals left, right and centre. Let's hope more goals for us than them. Thanks, Pat. Now to finally introduce a very good friend of mine, Mr. Keith White. Bit of background on Keith. Keith's been in Australia for years and years. Good mate of mine, who I met over. And Keith started the illustrious and worldwide known Brisbane Man United Supporters Club. So the Brisbane United Supporters Club, to give my own background on it, I landed in Australia from Ireland, knew nobody. And back in Ireland, as most of the Irish Reds will know, the thing about meeting up as a supporters club doesn't really exist, within reason. At least locally for me it didn't. So we go to the bar, watch a few games, now and again with one or two of the boys. But I accidentally stumbled across these bunch of fucking lunatics made up of nationalities global in Brisbane one night to watch a game. I walked in, and when I tell you, it's like being in a bar in Manchester on match day. I'm not joking. The atmosphere is fucking absolutely electric. I was chatting away to all these Aussies and Kiwis and Manx and expats, and I was like, it's the story. And they all pointed me to this little baldy, narrow fucker. Little smiley head walking around everyone like a celebrity. Oh, Keith's the man. I said, who the fuck's this Keith fella? I was expecting this big, imposing, like, Godfather Don figure. Not some little baldy fucker from Dublin to come over and be like, all right, pal, what's the play in the story? But that started a friendship that's lasted through the years. And luckily, we're back again at another game. So, top red, and the term top red gets thrown about in many types of fashions, but top red, in my opinion. But Keith, you're back from Australia. Yourself and the family are home for Christmas, and I've dragged you along, kicking and screaming, of course, to Bayern Munich. First of all, how was the journey home?
Well, I have two small kids with me, so it was fucking horrendous. But, the first thing I wanted to say here was you sound really professional when you're doing this podcast all the time. We're standing outside the ladies' jacks here in the Nag's Head, and it looks a bit dodgy. It's in the corner.
It's a little bit loud inside the bar. We take our small graces where we can get it.
Ah, no. Look, yeah, got in on Friday. The girls weren't too bad on the flight, so just getting over the jet lag, and hopefully have something to cheer tonight.
Talk to me on Brisbane. You've graciously and unceremoniously stepped aside from running the supporters club after numerous years, and there's even a time you stepped aside for another chairman to take over the branch. This guy came in with serious CV and repertoire. Some called him the David Moyes. Well, you called him the David Moyes of the Brisbane branch, and he didn't last very long as chairman. Any comment on that one?
Yeah, well, I was running it for a few years, and then me and the missus were talking about starting a family up, and I was saying, oh, well, I haven't got a lot of spare time, so something would have to give. So I said I'd give up the supporters club there and let someone take it over. And said, I found the ideal candidate. This unimposing fella from Limerick called Smurf. And he was all... I asked him, I kind of did the Ferguson and told him he was the chosen one, he was going to take over from me, and He said, listen, you're in good hands. I'm gonna continue. Don't want to change too much. I'm going to make this a success. And 3 weeks later, he got deported. So,
Well, if Australian immigration are listening or any Australian authorities, let's not say deported. Let's just say he left the country in a cloud of mystery. But yeah, I briefly took over the supporters club from Keith. It's funny, from, we'll say, a servant under Keith on the committee and that, and seeing how things ran. That's when I came home to Ireland, that's what made me want to set up the branch that I run now. So I'd seen how Keith had done it over in Australia, and I wanted to try to do something similar. The only difference is games in Ireland are 12:30 in the day, 3:00 in the day, 5:30, 4:00 Sunday. Very hard to get a massive gang of lads to go to the pub. In contrast, in Brisbane, 10:30 at night, midnight, 1:30 in the morning, very easy to get a bunch of lads absolutely out of their trolley singing songs and in the form for a match. So he had that one up on us. But you step back in, you kept the supporters club going, built it to what it is, and you handed it over to a good mate of ours, Pete, and I believe the supporters club is going as strong as ever. But so we're back, we've done a couple of games together. Every time you come home, we try to meet up. We have an interesting week ahead, Keith. So we'll start tonight. We're going to face the mighty Bayern Munich. Instead of asking you what you think is going to happen with the game initially, I'll flip it on you and say, Eric Ten Hag, I'll put you on the spot. Ten Hag's been getting pelters left, right and centre. And as a fellow bald man, do you stand beside bald is best, bald is not best, bald is mediocre, or what is going to happen?
Right, so there's two sides. There's a group of people that 100% you can't say a word against the manager. 100% he's doing everything right, and that's it, right? We can all see what's around him, what's going wrong from above, certain players not putting the effort in. But the only criticism we would have of Ten Hag is, right, these players that he has bought, right? And you can say there's someone above him bought, but every one of these has a Dutch kind of link here, right? Like, he had Onana was at Ajax, he had someone, I'm sure fucking Hoyland has been on a stag do to Amsterdam as well or something like that. There's some link there. But so look at the list of players he has brought in.
He's bought 16. So just right, to back that subject, we've brought in Dubravka, Butland, Veghorst, Sabitzer, Amrabat. These are all loan signings. Dodgy, average, uninspiring loan signings. And I'm agreeing with you 100%. Is the only one of the only criticisms I have of Ten Hag myself, and I'm a big supporter of the fella, is his signings. A lot of them have been uninspiring loan signings, but the big money signings, the Antonys, the Mason Mounts, even the Rasmus Højlunds. I like Rasmus Højlund. I think he's going to become good, but no goal in 15 games so far in the league. Antony not doing it in the wing. Mason Mount, 60, 70 million. Questionable.
But that's, like, Rasmus Højlund should be the understudy to our main striker. So, like, who's our main striker then at the minute? Martial? Like,
Anthony Martial?
There's no point in me waffling on about Martial because there's going to be nothing positive to say. But, like, then he spent 80 million on Antony. And it's gas when you look online and you see he's beat a player and put a cross in. It's like, geez, Anthony had a good game today. No, he didn't. We've lowered our standards to accept a complete level of mediocrity now. I see people saying Amrabat had a brilliant game the other day. He didn't have a brilliant game. He had an okay game. He had just about touching the acceptable level of what a Man United player should put in 90 minutes.
So you're saying, in previous standards, what would have been deemed a bang average, normal performance is now being lauded as, oh, I had a great game. And I suppose you're right, yeah, our standards have dropped, because coming from a successful era under Alex Ferguson where we appreciated exemplary, unbelievable football and we got used to that. Now we see a flash in the pan, something like Antony beats a man and puts a decent cross in, yeah. All of a sudden he gets plaudits for it. It's a fair point. Our standards probably have dropped because of the shite we've seen for the last 10 years or so. So has he made any signing that's inspired you?
Me and Barry were actually talking about this in the airport, right? The only one, and you're welcome, everyone's welcome to their opinion, right? So we're saying, has any of them been a complete success that he's signed, right? Martinez, I'd say.
Barron, the injury. He's been unlucky, yeah, with a long term injury twice.
Right, but when he has played, 100%, I 100% say Martinez, right?
Not just footballing ability, just pure passion. Yeah. I mean, how many teams do you actually see them going around in defence? punching each other in the chest.
But that, and you know what I said to you then in the airport, right? The ones that care aren't good enough. The actual players we have...
Diogo Dalot going around fist bumping and chest fucking pigeon tits.
He cares, but he's not good enough, right? And the ones that are good enough don't care.
Yeah.
That's nail on the head. If you want to find a statement or a phrase that nails Man United at the moment, the ones who care aren't good enough, and the ones who are good enough don't care.
Copyright that one. It's a good one, isn't it?
So, right, Ten Hag, tonight.
Well, hold on, just to, I'm not in any way, shape or form saying the manager needs to go at all, right? Because there seems to be this thing online where you're either one or the other. You can have an opinion on both and say, I think he's doing quite a good job.
That's something in football that's been lost, is discussion and debate.
100%.
You don't have to be Ten Hag out, Ten Hag in. Yeah. You can be Ten Hag is grand, but I don't like this about him. Or this player is, I kind of like him, but he has his faults. The day of having a normal football discussion has been so eradicated on the likes of Twitter and that, because you have to have extreme opinions. It has to be he's the worst player of all time.
We probably need someone else to bring in to start making signings then, because if his signings aren't working, he's doing some good things. But
valid point, and I 100% agree. I actually looked at it the other night, the 16 signings that he's made, and it doesn't make for great reading. Right, I'll ask you, go on, what's going to happen tonight?
I think we'll win, just because, I don't know, our form is as reliable as your van, like, so it's fucking...
Oh, you bastard.
No, but like, this the type of games where you think we're going to get hammered, hopefully they put out a reserve team and we beat them, but don't know, can't see the other game ending a draw, see what happens.
We'll fast forward, only because you're coming with me on Sunday. And I managed to blag you into coming to Anfield with me. Now, I'll preface this by saying the last two seasons I've been in Anfield, I don't think, and you can fucking slate me for saying this or not, but I don't think I've managed a combined 90 minutes in Anfield over the two games due to the shit that I've seen. I'm absolutely petrified of coming Sunday. I was talking to a mate of mine last night about going, and I was like, one of the only reasons I'm going Sunday is because I asked Keith to come with me, and I got him a ticket. But now I'm thinking to myself, have I done him an injustice by getting him a ticket to Liverpool away? I know Anfield's a great game to go on. Being back from Australia on holidays, it's a lovely one to get in. But like, it's dodgy, isn't it? It's fucking dodgy. It's a game that could potentially be another embarrassment. Or is it going to be United turn up?
Yeah, look, if you don't want to go, I'll sell your ticket online for 100.
See, so just to put out there, Keith the Tout White.
For me, living over there, getting to Anfield is like it's me coming home at the right time, the away fixture, and like I didn't even, well, the person who sorted me out with the ticket, I didn't want to be annoying them, but I got sorted anyway. But look, the type of games where, yeah, like if you ask me, am I confident? Absolutely not. My dad asked me leaving today. He says, "What do you reckon about Sunday?" And I says, I hope at least we're leading in the game for 5-10 minutes.
And something to enjoy.
And that's what he's like. He's a son. Like he says, he's like, over the years you've been going, oh, we're going to beat these, we're going to win the final. He says, you've lowered your standards so much that you hope to be leading for 10 minutes in the game. I was like, I'll take that now. Oh, but look, who knows? Like I said, this team is so unpredictable that we'll lose 3-0 to Bournemouth and then we'll beat the Scousers next week. But who knows?
People keep asking me during the week, going, if Ten Hag loses to Bayern and loses to Liverpool, is he out? And I keep flipping the question. I'm going, what happens if Ten Hag beats Bayern and beats Liverpool? Football's a funny game. Changes in 7 days. Right, Barry, Keith, thanks a million. I'm just after seeing a stray cat walk in here. A stray cat who I'm after grabbing. A good mate of mine, Reese. Reese, just grab you for a second. Tonight, Bayern Munich under the lights in Old Trafford. Talk to me. What's going to happen?
We're going to get beat 2-0. Harry Kane brace.
And that was the end of Reese's podcast. Nice one, Reese. Talk to you in a while, lads. It's after the game, sat in the tollgate bar having a beer and truly and utterly dejected. Fucking just so bad. Just so bad. Bayern Munich never came out with first gear, never needed to. We never saw second gear. We just don't have it. At the moment, we just don't have that spark, creativity, lack of players, I'm not sure. we just don't have it to go against these big teams. We were just so toothless. Like, half time came, nil all the other game. You're looking at it going, okay, we'll give it a go. Other game's going our way. This game's all right, it's in the balance. We're not doing much, but you've seen out 45 minutes. Second half, we come out. Now, saying that, they did flash a ball across our 6-yard box after 30 seconds, which they probably should have scored. But you've got the half time, nil all. And you're looking at it, no matter, fan, manager, whoever the fuck you are, pundit, you look at it, you go, right, 45 minutes down, nil all, you need a goal to win this. A goal probably sees you through. Copenhagen Galatasaray is nil all at the time. You look at that game going, right, that might not change. We just lacked so much imagination. Like I've said before, and I'll say it again, we're so pedestrian with the ball. We get so far up the pitch, we get about 75% up the pitch, and we just stop and go, what the fuck do we do? No one's moving, no one's making runs, no one's got the vision to create something. We played so many. Onana played long balls to Rasmus Højlund tonight, Bruno Fernandes tonight. Long ball. Like, is that what we're reduced to? Are we reduced to going back, giving the ball to the keeper and hoping a long ball to fucking someone up front possibly comes off? Bollocks. That's not good enough. I don't give a fuck if you're Ten Hag in, Ten Hag out, shake it all about. It's not about the manager. That ball come to Onana. He looked up and goes, I'm going to ping it long and hope that someone might get something out of it. That's bollocks football. It's not good enough. It's fucking annoying because we're going to Liverpool Sunday, Anfield, a place that hasn't been a happy stomping ground, and we're going to have to come off an embarrassing result against Bournemouth. An embarrassing result. No, sorry. It's not an embarrassing result. Sorry. Bayern Munich is a massive side. What's embarrassing isn't the result. What's embarrassing is the fact we couldn't create anything. We just walked around and fucking trudged our way through the game. And you've got to look at, you've got to look at the season as a whole. What's next? We're out of Europe. Europe's fucked. We've got a cup game against Wigan away with a big allocation. Everyone's cheering about that. Everyone's happy about that. Is that what we are? Is that the level we're at now? Where we're excited about getting Wigan away in the cup? That's a bit fucking sad, really. The league, we don't look great in the league. We're hit and miss. We beat teams below us, we can't beat teams above us, which isn't good fucking, it's not good form. It's not the form of a team who's going to finish top four, top three. Calling a spade, I'll say one thing. The injuries at the start of the season change things. That's me maybe giving an excuse, maybe a cop-out. I know the injuries at the start of the season change things. We were a decent side. After Liverpool bummed us last season, we never recovered from that. We went downhill. But at the start of the season, we couldn't play what we want to play. We couldn't play the players we want to play. Formation, the style. Tonight probably got hamstrung a bit with the fucking injuries. But at the same time, you make do. You adapt. You work with what you have. You come up with a style and you make it fucking effective. If that means we got to play shit football, tight football, and nick a 1-0 win, fair enough. Fair enough. You got to play Jose Mourinho football and be effective, fair enough. You get over the brow of the hill after the injuries are solved, and you get back to what you're doing, fair enough. But this isn't good enough. We spoke earlier in the podcast, before the game, spoke to Keith, and Keith mentioned our standards have dropped. We see Anthony beat a man, and all of a sudden he's had a good game. And I think it's a fair comment. Our standards have gone through the fucking toilet. We see one player do something half decent, all of a sudden, oh, he had a fucking great game, didn't he? He didn't have a fucking great game. He was all right. But our standards over the last decade have dropped so fucking far that we accept the fact that someone's done something half right and all of a sudden we think he's had a great game. He hasn't had a fucking great game. We need to keep... One of the things we're guilty of as a fan base in a club is letting our standards go through the toilet. And that needs to change. Now, I've been vocally supportive of Erik ten Hag from day one. I still am. Many of you listening to this podcast will go, well, how is he still supportive of him? His signings are shit. His in-game management. I get what you're saying. I understand you. He's not without fault. I blame him for lots of things. He's learning on the job. Fair enough. He's still a fucking damn good manager. He's got a good CV. He's a damn good manager. You don't become a bad player overnight. You don't become a bad manager overnight. He's come into a club that's run like a fucking shit show. A manager, an ownership issue that's been a fucking calamity for 12 months. We've got a 20-year-old striker. He's Rasmus Højlund come in, and I said all through the summer, I said, I wouldn't fancy being Rasmus Højlund being that young and the pressure on your shoulders coming to United. You're the main man. If he's coming in with a fucking an aging striker, an older striker, anybody but Anthony fucking Martial to learn off of and play off happy days. He's coming as the main man, big money. That's a fucking horrendous, horrendous task for any young lad in football. But he's coming to a side that's not performing. You can come into a side in football who's playing good football. I hate to say it, if you're City, if you're Liverpool, they can implement a young lad into the side. They can take the hit and put an academy lad. They can have 10 first team footballers and bring a young lad in and give him a few games, because it won't really affect the side that much and it gives him time. We've got a side that's so fucking inconsistent. You put Corby and Maynard in the side, you need and demand and expect perfection performance straight away, because if not, the Bayern Wolves are looking going, he's fucking shit. Pellistri is a bad game, he's all of a sudden shit. He's not fucking shit, we're shit. That's the problem. It's not Pellistri's shit, Maynard's not shit, Malassia's not shit. Be honest, Marcus Rashford's not shit. We can call a spade a spade. He's a decent footballer, isn't he? We as a unit are a bad fucking side. You can't add a young fella to that side and expect him to be performing. I'm fuming. I'm absolutely fuming. It's not a new modus operandi this season, because I've walked out of too many football stadiums, seen a lack of effort, a lack of desire, a lack of fucking performance. It's doing my fucking idiot. But I'm sitting here in the tall game. I've got a mate of mine, a good friend of mine, Dylan Donnelly. We were together before the game, we talked about it, we went to the game. Dylan, I'm not going to say what went wrong, because what went wrong could take us to tomorrow. What happened? Like, I know what went wrong. What went wrong? We weren't good enough, we didn't play well, we were toothless in attack. What needs to change?
Well, it was it's a post-mortem without it being a post-mortem. It's 12 defeats in 24 games, and to be honest...
Is that what it is? 12 defeats, 24 games? Fucking hell.
So, to be honest with you, my good friend Brian, my first game of the season, I was actually positive about that result because we didn't get dicked. I suppose the main thing we want as a United fan is to show 11 players that actually want to fucking try and play for the club or play for the badge, and it seems like they gave it, they're all deceiving, but we had two shots on target. One of them come from Luke Shaw in the first 15 minutes of the game. It seems like since last season, Ten Hag was quite pragmatic. We had a settle back four, we had Cassie, we had Lissandro Martinez, and injuries have decimated us this season. You know, which we've had an unsettled back four, we've had, you know, a raft of injuries. But if you look across the Premier League, everybody's dealing with injuries due to probably the overload due to the World Cup and stuff like that. But we've just had no luck. It looks like Harry Maguire's out now with a groin strain. That's probably another, like, it could be 3 to 6 weeks. Luke Shaw's done his hamstring. You know, God knows it's usually his hamstring. I think Luke Shaw is probably one of fundamentally our most important player in terms of his progression and when he's playing in his natural left-back position, because he gives us that attacking outlet. But we're reliant on a 20-year-old with 9 Serie A goals to his name to lead the line, when realistically our number 9 should be the number 9 that was playing against us tonight, you know, Harry Kane. Do you know what I mean? We should be having Rasmus Højlund should be coming on in the last 15-20 minutes of the game and understudy, you know what I mean? So it's unfair on him, and we're looking at positives. You know, Kobe Mino coming off the bench, a 15-20 minute cameo, we're reliant upon that. But when you're rewarding, when you're seeing players as financial assets and you're rewarding Diogo Dalo a 5-year contract off the back of a 3-month purple patch when he's been shit for 3 years, we're going around in circles. So realistically, Ten Hag should stay, but the status quo is not going to go until Sir Jim Ratcliffe comes in and takes an axe to the squad. We need a huge overhaul, but we also need to realise that, you know, Ten Hag's drowning and he's got his arms tied behind his back.
I'll ask you one question. It was something we spoke about earlier. One of the boys made a point I thought was the best way I've heard United describe this season. The players who are good enough don't give a shit, and the players who aren't good enough give a shit. Is that a fair reflection?
Well, I don't know if who gives a shit or who doesn't give a shit. But what I'm seeing is I'm seeing players that are technically limited in a squad that's, you know, not exactly fucking bursting with leading characters. I'm actually saying, you know, I wouldn't have been Harry Maguire's, you know, I wouldn't have been his biggest fan or his biggest fucking champion, but he's the captain of the, he's the captain of the team. He, you know, he's more of a skipper than Bruno ever, than Bruno is at the minute.
Is one of the problems we've got in the side, in the squad, a lack of leaders. Like, you've got Bruno as a captain. You look across the lines, the defence, the midfield, the striker. A striker's a 19-year-old child. He can't be a fucking, he can't be a leader. Do we lack leaders? We go back to the United teams of old. You had Roy Keane, captain. He had Gary Neville beside him. A Scholes, he'd fucking Rio Ferdinand, Vidic. He had leaders everywhere on the pitch. We're lacking leaders all over the pitch.
Yeah, but to be a leader, you need to be a world-class player. And to be a world-class player, currently, if you were to get, I think it was 19 or, I think that's 19 or, I think that's 19 back fours that Onana's done this season in terms of all competitions. Man United technically have three or four world-class players that go into any top European side. So, you know, like Scott McTominay is a modern-day Darren Fletcher. He has a goal in him, but he comes with caveats. You know what I mean? You know, him playing in that position as a number 8 or a number 10, it's fucking, it's World Cup. You know what I mean?
To be fair, we've got a lot of players. Like McTominay is an example.
Yeah.
You know what McTominay gives you. McTominay will give you
honest player.
Yeah. Put in a shift. He's limited.
Yeah.
He's limited in ability. Yeah. He's limited in what he can do.
He's a squad player, man.
He's a squad. He's the old fashioned Fletcher, Phil Neville, G2 Park.
He's a squad player, yeah.
Is what it is. But you can afford to have, and you want to have the players. When you've got a squad of quality players, when you're dependent on that type of player as your main starter 11, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If you've got Amrabat, I'm sorry. Everybody can go at me if you want to. Amrabat is fucking shit.
He's the best player on the pitch tonight.
Yes, he may be. He's just not good enough. If Amrabat's the best player you've got on the pitch, you're in trouble. He's offered nothing. He's offered nothing. Reece, come here. So, after that game, 1-0 defeat to Munich. What's got to change?
Tell you what, Rashford's got to go. The whole team's got to change, really.
You don't value Rashford?
No, I don't like him, but... It's out. He is.
Good mate of mine. Danny's just have to join us. Danny, we got done 1-0 tonight by Munich. Another disappointing result. What went wrong or what's got to change?
Fucking shite, aren't we?
We'll have to change
the whole fucking thing, mate.
Right, top to bottom, we got to change it all. It's a bit of a post-mortem, isn't it? We'll continue this later, but 2, 3, 4. Nah, 100 very depressed reds in this park tonight. Just another bad result.
Got a boomerang to throw against that Arsenal.
There's a lot of debate out here. We're outside the smoking area. You did speak over the podcast. We're going to have an argument here in a second because there's a little lad from Warrington. He's about 4'2" with a mushroom haircut and he's causing drama.
Fuck off, Brian Goldbridge, you
fucking prick. We've reverted back to Barry and Keith. Barry, our intrepid traveller who's travel the world to get here from Blaine, Dublin, and Keith, who just popped over from Brisbane. Baz, let's start it off. Talk to me. What went wrong? What needs to change? What's going on?
Look, at the end of the day, it's the same fucking story. United, they were just huffing and puffing the whole game. There was nothing to cheer about. I reckon there was fucking two times in the whole game where you were standing on your feet, standing up, fucking singing the fucking crowd, getting the crowd going, but it was just the same story again in Europe. Fucking, we just can't do it. We're better off out of the Champions League, because at the end of the day, we're not good enough for the Champions League. We're better off just getting out of the Champions League, and I don't give a shit as well about Europa League. Just get out of all European competitions, focus on the league. And try get there, get into some kind of position up the league. That's all I want.
Do you know what annoyed me tonight is, the crowd, to be fair to the crowd inside Old Trafford, crowd was up for it, crowd was doing his best to get the team going.
Yeah.
The team never reacted.
Yeah.
That's one of the most annoying things, where the crowd was giving you support and really getting behind the team never reacted. It never heard that sound, never heard the atmosphere, it never went, fuck, yeah, they're behind us, let's go.
The Bayern fans were hopping up and down.
They were bouncing,
absolutely bouncing.
It's what, you know what? It's one of the most.
It's easy when you're qualified, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's easy to qualify. It's one of the most annoying things in football. We look at European clubs and their support. They're so animated. Like, you go to Old Trafford, I've gone with years and years. You have pockets. J Stand, TRA, Upper Stretford Indoors. You've got these little pockets of support, but like, we don't bounce like. I've done Munich away, I've done Copenhagen away, I've done Istanbul. Every one of those games this season, all three sides of the fucking stadium was bouncing. Yeah. You don't get that in England. You don't get it at Old Trafford. Yeah. It is what it is. Right, Keith. Keith's hopping. Keith's waiting. No, before we get into this, I'm just going to comment. Paint the picture, right? Keith landed back from Australia with like 500 degrees. And to be fair, he texted me this morning questioning his wardrobe choices. Now, I gave him some advice. He's not followed my advice because he's turned up looking like Jimmy Savile in what can only be described as a kiddie fiddler jacket, a.k.a. Top Gun, fluffy collar.
That's the first time
we've
seen everyone here smile today.
And he's got a baseball cap out of pennies, a.k.a. Primark. Like, this is a bad effort, but look, we'll give him a chance. Give him a chance. Keith, talk to me. What happened?
Ah, man. Like what he said, you're talking about stadiums bouncing and things. There's absolutely nothing there to get excited about. You can't sing for 90 minutes. You get fed up after half an hour if you get absolutely nothing back. Garnacho maybe gives you a little bit of something to kind of...
I'm going to cut you off for a second.
Yeah,
sorry.
Of course, yeah.
Garnacho. We spoke about him earlier. I spoke with the lads earlier. Garnacho is a live wire. His effort, his energy, he does his best.
Yeah.
But is he not surrounded by a bunch of fucking dopes?
Yeah,
it's hard to expect a kid that age to flourish.
Say, I hear everyone talking about Maynu now and fucking Hoyland as well. All these good, all the players, you can't put it on kids.
Pressure on kids' shoulders.
Well, like,
Keith, you're not bringing Rasmus Hoyland into a team that's settled. Performing and bleeding him in.
You're
bringing
him
in at 19, 20, expecting him to be the striker.
I said that earlier, that he should be the understudy to someone. But I'm responding to what you said about atmosphere. You can only get excited. You start the game, Champions League game, the music goes off, you know it's a big game, you're going to qualify, everyone's up for it. 20 minutes of singing their heart out and absolutely nothing. It's just flat. It's just, there's nothing there that resembles what Man United should be. If you look back at when we were growing up, all the Champions League games or European games, in the last 20 minutes, right? If we were going over Europe, in the last 20 minutes
kitchen
at Old Trafford.
Kitchen sink.
Unbelievable, right? Now, we didn't always win. You think of games like against Real Madrid, what was that, 4-3 or whatever.
Kitchen
right?
sink. Yeah. Everyone's off their feet.
Absolutely. You're only short. Look at the final. Schmeichel's up in the cup, right? There's absolutely no urge.
Keith, how many times did you get off your seat? When I say a seat, we were standing all day, we were in the area. How many times did you get off your seat today?
Nothing, right? The amount of people I've seen with 5 minutes ago. Now, I'm not going to start saying everyone was leaving at half time, right? But 5 minutes ago, because the difference is when we were growing up, when we always believed you'd score.
Forget it. Right? Can they score? They always score.
When it was 82, 83 minutes. No one in that stadium believed we were winning 2-1. Including myself. I stayed because fuck it, I don't get to go that often in this stadium. Yeah, but like I'm not going to criticise anyone who walked out of that stadium there, because there used to be this thing where we would go to the end, and like we were in the Nag's Head beforehand, and the treble the finals on the screen beforehand, and I said that to the lad young fella beside me. I was like, he's only 21, and I was telling him that fucking season you should watch that. I said we were never ever fucking beaten.
That's a different side. That was a different mentality. You're not leaving the ground in 80 minutes because there's a chance you could score two.
We went 1-0 down in that season, and like, obviously
you still believe.
Completely different fucking era and team, but I have no faith at all in this team. When they go 1-0 down, you just think.
I remember back in Munich a couple of months or weeks back, and Ty Brennan Luxey was with me. He was beside me in the ground, and he said, I asked him what the crack was. How do you feel about the game? And he said, these boys are going to shit the bags in big atmospheres, in big games. They don't have the bollocks. And it stuck in my brain because I think he nailed it. This side doesn't have the pair of bollocks. And I'll go a bit further. Doesn't have the leaders across the lines to drag a team kicking and screaming and say, lads, we're 1-0 down. Grow up here about it and let's dig in. We don't dig in anymore.
Well, lads, it's like, Key, at the end of the day, you said going 1-0 down, right? If we go 2 goals up, like we didn't
we're still worried.
That's right. We're still fucked. Like, we there's no trust. There's
no even a 3-1 over Istanbul, you're still concerned.
There's no expectation. It's like...
You've got a defender that was released by Leicester City, you know, coming on.
Who turned up for training one day. Ten Hag saw him win a header and was like, fuck him, we'll sign him. His missus works for the club and he was a red. Go on, Johnny Evans. But when you're cheering off, when you see the club tonight, or the crowd tonight, cheering off Harry Maguire, who 6 months ago was a pariah, and cheering on Johnny Evans, that tells you where you're at.
Dalot's high-fiving and Wan-Bissaka develops cerebral palsy and he goes past the halfway line. Like,
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Saying, we're not turning up in big atmospheres for big games. Bournemouth at home was fucking like an average, you know, tonight.
No disrespect to Bournemouth, but that's a side you should beat.
Yeah, but like, Bournemouth were true tonight. That wasn't exactly a fucking electric atmosphere.
They're in first gear.
Why weren't we as compact against Bournemouth as we were tonight? Do you know what I mean?
It's not just big atmosphere.
It's absolutely disgusting. I think we should demolish West Limerick Supporters Club, for one. And then that's when we get the atmosphere going. And these Irish tourists coming over from Australia... I tell you, I didn't hear the peep, honestly, and he kept on putting his things up my bum.
This thing about these lads from Warrington coming in to Old Trafford, pretending like they're these big, massive local Reds. Warrington is 20-25 minutes away. Let's just clarify this. Warrington is it 20-25 minutes away, roughly?
25. What do you think? I'm a fucking walking, talking tom-tom.
Listen, Satnav. Head back to Warrington in your little train, go home and have a good night's rest. Lads, as always, it's been great talking to the lads. It hasn't been a great performance on the pitch, but we're off again. Sunday, Anfield.
Great.
9-0. Can't wait. Last two seasons, I think it's been 12-0 aggregate. I won't lie, I haven't seen...
Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour.
And on that note, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Take it easy. Sports Social Podcast Network.